March 11th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we're in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 13, starting at verse 1 with a message titled, A Look at Satan's Ministers.
Everything he's doing right now as a roaring lion roaming the earth, seeking whom he may devour next, as he's causing all this turmoil, as the locusts come up out of the pit, chapter 9, as he's stirring up the peoples of the earth, he has one great goal. It's all coming for one people. He's coming after the offspring of the woman. That's what all this turmoil we're seeing ultimately has a goal of. Revelation 12 is helping us with.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn in the scriptures this morning to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. I've been saying along that Revelation is not that hard. This one's a little harder, so. But I'm excited to preach it this morning. Revelation chapter 13, we'll consider the entirety of the chapter, then we'll pray to the Lord and ask him to give us help. Revelation chapter 13 this morning. This is the last book of the Bible. We're working through this book, if you're a visitor. This is the word of the Lord. Let's consider beginning at verse 1. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's. Its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. And the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like the beast and who can fight against it? And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words. And it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. I want you to notice, pause, that that is the very same period, the entire period we've been considering of the woman out in the wilderness and the time of gospel proclamation. It's very important. This has been going on the whole time, he's saying. Okay? It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence, and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. And it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And there ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you asking for your help by your Spirit, that this word would be rightly divided today to the benefit and edification of your people in the intention it was inspired, and give me, Lord, words of clarity and boldness to preach this in a way that brings great glory to your name so that as the exposure that is intended here, it would open our eyes to receive the blessing that Revelation promises those who read it and understand it. Give us those two things as we read today. May we have understanding from you and receive that blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to help you recall what we considered last time. It's so important to see the connection here from chapter 12 and 13 as we're in this fourth cycle of visions. And chapter 12, you'll remember, was helping Christians understand why this battle is so fierce that we are in light of Jesus' victory. It's really important to consider that. If he has been raised from the dead, why are things so hard and why are things so fierce right now? And chapter 12 had a very distinctive message for us. Its goal was to say, you're at the end of a long history of war that has been going on. A war from the beginning. And it gave us symbols to help understand that war. A woman, a dragon, her offspring, ultimately centered on the woman's son. All this symbolism was given. A beautiful woman was clothed with the sun in chapter 12. Under her feet, the moon, and wrapped around her head was a garland of stars. She's the light of the earth. She's the light bearer in the earth. But in great pain, she gave birth to a son. And as that is happening, set adjacent to this sign is another sign of the worst kind of foe and monster that John could come up with to have us consider the history of warfare, cosmic, that has been going on from the beginning. A dragon, fierce, breathing fire. He's out of control. He's red in color. He's swinging his tail. He's causing nothing but upheaval. He's out of control, wild, and ready to devour that child as soon as that child is born. And we looked at last time, that's the story of history, isn't it? That's the story of Israel throughout history having all the hardship to bring forth her Messiah. We looked at that. Satan's great effort in the Old Testament was to overcome what was spoken to him in Genesis chapter 3, that the woman's seed would crush his head. So he's trying to bruise the heel the whole time and stop it. It's the whole Testament. That captures the story of the Old Testament. Every time he was hitting the line, trying to prevent the male child from being born. Well, it came to an ugly head, and we go back, Egypt, from all the time when Pharaoh's casting babies into the Nile, we jump ahead, same story. Herod tries to wipe out the Messiah when he's finally born and has come. But he was destined to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and up to God and his throne he went, and he's reigning. All of this vision of chapter 12 celebrated the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus as a great victory that we've won. He ascended, he was seated, house cleaning went on in heaven, and down came the devil for good. No more to make any accusation against you. All done. He's beat. And Revelation 12's message was, think about this. Woe to you, earth and sea, two categories. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, for he knows he has a short time. Ah, there's the issue. That's why things are so bad right now. He's like a mad hornet in the earth. He's like the fish I talked about last time, swimming sideways in the bowl, ready to be flushed. Christians needed to understand this. This is why things are so hard right now. This is why the earth is in such turmoil right now. This is why people hate one another. It's hate upon hate, and he's good at it. We tend to look at things only in what's in front of us. And Revelation 12 was saying, no. This is all a result of a cosmic battle. That's why the inhabitants of the earth are in such woe, because the devils come down to them furious. But you in the heavens, as Revelation has made the distinction, should rejoice. Your place is secure. Well, Revelation gave us that cosmic perspective. Every tactic of the devil, even going on in the earth, here was the last point we left with last time. Everything he's doing right now as a roaring lion roaming the earth, seeking whom he may devour next, as he's causing all this turmoil, as the Locusts come up out of the pit, chapter 9, as he's stirring up the peoples of the earth. He has one great goal. It's all coming for one people. He's coming after the offspring of the woman. That's what all this turmoil we're seeing ultimately has a goal of. So Revelation 12 is helping us with. Now, we have to understand this lest we end up forgetting we belong to a heavenly kingdom, lest we start getting wrapped up in all the world's problems, and lest we start seeking to overcome the river of hate and division that Satan is spewing in the earth with the world's solutions and bringing that to the church thinking we're going to solve that. You're not stopping this. Christ is bringing in a kingdom of righteousness. What Revelation 13 now is doing is unmasking how Satan is doing this in the earth. Revelation is a sense saying, 13, I'm going to show you now his generals. I'm going to show you his warriors. I'll give you a good picture of them. Revelation, the beasts, as they're called in Revelation 13, that Satan has specifically chosen to deceive the world. And it has the effect of helping us see it so that we don't fall into it. It's a very important chapter, even though it's somewhat a complex chapter. It's a very important chapter in terms of exposure. This chapter is unmasking what Satan's doing in the earth. So we're looking then at the identity of these beasts, their deception, and their success. That's all that chapter 13 is doing. And so that by the time we get to chapter 14, we have it all countered by a lamb slain who is standing and redeeming. Well, let's look into this, and I think the best place to begin is with, in the ESV, chapter 12, the very last sentence there. And it's important to say that in chapter 12, the last little phrase there, and he stood on the sand of the sea, many translations put at the beginning of chapter 13, and I do think that's correct. Chapter breaks are not inspired, but it's a natural lead to what he's now describing. And so you'll notice there, if we back up and look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, this is what we read. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring. That's you. On those who keep the commandments of God, it's going to assault their moral stances. And on those who hold to the testimony of Jesus, he's going to assault their gospel. Moral stances and gospel. And here's the link. And he went and he stood on the sand of the sea. So the link is, he went to make war on us. How did he do it? John says, I watched him, and he goes out and he stands on the sand of the sea, the dragon. Imagery is a furious, fire-breathing, tail-swinging dragon who is now standing on the edge of the sea. I don't think that's a coincidence, for when the Pharaoh and his armies had been defeated, it was Moses who stood on the sand of the sea and looked back and saw the thing go calm. Satan now is looking back at the defeat. And here's what he's doing. I can't whistle, but it would be something like, and the sea starts stirring. And all you see, notice it, I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 7 diadems, crowns on its thorns, and a blasphemous name on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's. Its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. He is furious, the dragon. And the answer to his anger is to summon up some generals, to summon up some warriors. So he stands out there, and he sees, he whistles, if you will, and there the sea begins to churn and break, and something begins to come up out of the sea. This is, boys and girls, a monster of indescribable horror that begins to rise up and come in view. You've never seen anything like this. Nobody's ever captured something this hideous this horror filled. John says, I looked, and the worst looking thing I've ever seen begins to come up. This beast had seven heads, and on those horns, you'll notice there, on those heads, 10 horns, and this thing had a great blasphemy written there. I'll come back to that. It kept coming up. I saw the head first, and it kept coming up, and then John says, the most ferocious kinds of animals in this earth that we know this thing was made of. Its body was like a leopard. Its feet were like bear's feet with the claws that crush and swipe. Its mouth was like a lion's mouth roaring as this thing came up, growling, ready to attack. It has the effect of, uh-oh. Movies try to capture this. Lord of the Rings tries to do this when you have Smaug and Sauron, right? And that's what some of you are thinking about. Ugly beasts. Dragon Smaug, and here's Sauron, and you're thinking, who can fight that beast? No one can touch that beast. He goes and he begins to take all worship for himself, this beast. Now, as we pause and consider a little bit of begin to start unfolding the meaning here, we have to remember that sea in the scriptures is often described as the nations. Isaiah talks about this when he says, ah, the thunder of many peoples, like the thunder of the thundering of the sea. Ah, the roaring of nations. They roar like the roaring of many waters. Whatever it is, it comes out of the nations, and it demands absolute loyalty and worship, this beast. That's what's captured here. You'll notice that the whole earth is worshiping this beast. All who dwell on the earth, except those written in the Lamb's Book of Life, everyone dwelling on the earth worships this beast. Before we consider what this beast is and how it shows itself, let's just for a moment consider the second beast. Look at verse 11. John says, I saw another beast coming out of the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb, much more deceptive. But when he spoke, his voice was like the voice of a dragon. It had all the authority, says John, of the first beast, but its effect, its goal, its mission was to make all the peoples in the earth through its mouth, that's the emphasis here, worship the first beast. He does all kinds of miraculous things with great power and awe to make everyone worship the beast by making even an image of the beast. He's the mouthpiece of the beast. What do we have here? Well, I was thinking a lot about this and considering everything that we've ever learned in the Christian faith. And I thought, you know, this is all very familiar, isn't it? You say, what do you mean familiar? Oh, you know this. I'm doing it again. You know this. A dragon who controls and orders all the events in the earth. Attempts to. He proceeds to send forth 2 beasts. A beast that then demands all worship. And another beast who is the mouthpiece of the first beast who bears witness of him. And leads all peoples to worship him. Sound familiar? It's a false trinity. You have a false God the Father figure in the dragon, a false Christ figure, and a false Holy Spirit figure that's described for us in all the categories we're familiar with. This is where I think Revelation promises a blessing to those who read and understand, because things are shown to you that you've always known now in a counterfeit system of the world that you can begin to identify and see. If you see this, it has the greatest preserving effect on you, because now you understand the devil's tactics. Now you understand his agenda. You understand his system. Everything God has done, the devil's counterfeiting in the earth. So to understand this, you've got to have a good understanding of the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Everything the Christian faith has always taught you. And it helps then to understand why we're saying creeds and confessions. Revelation is saying, use the framework and think through what a counterfeit to that work that you know would look like in the earth. That'll help you. That's Satan's business. He's the greatest counterfeit ever. If you can know the work of the Trinity, understand the Trinity, and then apply Satan's counterfeiting activity, it's going to greatly help you with what's going on. Then it's not that hard. And there are markers and there are symbols here to help us with that. So let's look at these figures. If you ask me to identify the first beast in the earth, there is something that is said of the first beast that the second beast is trying to advance, that the second beast is bearing witness to. What is it? It's probably the most difficult verse here, but it is the key. It's verse 3. First beast, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And the second beast is bearing witness to the healing of the deadly wound. These are the very same words in Revelation already that describe Jesus. Remember the vision of chapter 5. I saw a lamb as if it had been slain. You know, these are the very same words that are used here. Very same Greek words. He was slain. He came to life. Now we come to a section that says the beast was slain and his wound was healed. He came to life. Same words. John wants us to draw the connection. He's giving us a gift here. He had a fatal blow, came to life. Verse 8 says, all those on earth worship this beast. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. Same words. The Lamb who was slain. The counterfeit. The world marveled at this. The world's taken by this beast who was killed and came to life. Now, what does verse 2 say that the dragon, false God the Father, gave him? A kingdom and all authority. It says that. You can look at verse 2 there. It's actually verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast. The authority of the beast. This is so important. And he was given all authority over every tribe and nation and language and kingdom there. You'll notice there. In verse 2, it also says, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. He keeps emphasizing this. He gave it to him. Sound familiar? Of course it sounds familiar. You confess it every Sunday night. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, who, picking bits and pieces here, for us men and our salvation came down from heaven. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven.
That's all the time we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time for part 2 of this message. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.